Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 58. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see them naked, when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand the things freely given us by God. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? That's a strange question. Here's what Jesus was asking. If you're no longer accomplishing your purpose as a follower of Christ, what do you do to become effective again? Well, What is my purpose as a follower of Christ? I may have told this before, but many years ago, I was participating in a Bible study with four other men. We all went to the same church. They were great guys, every one of them. One night at the Bible study, the guy leading that night asked us to take turns naming a particular sin that seemed to be really hard for us to overcome. As I sat there thinking for a moment, I made a bold decision. I decided I was going to be honest. I was going to tell the truth. I was going to confess to these guys that I struggled with greed or envy or lust, maybe even include some details. I was going to be honest, even if it reflected poorly on me. And frankly, I was a little nervous about it. Well, going around in a circle, I was in position to go second. The guy to my right started. And this is what he confessed. I have trouble in social situations knowing how to react when people are drinking. What? This guy was not an alcoholic. That wasn't the issue. Maybe I took it completely wrong, but what I thought I heard my buddy confessing was not his own sin, but complaining about what he perceived to be the sins of others, and then humble bragging that he was so pious, he not only didn't drink, he didn't even know what to do around those sinners who did. Of course, I was up next. And I instantly scrapped my plan to tell the truth. I instantly decided I wasn't going to confess my greed or envy or lust, and I made up some lame sin, like when under stress, sometimes I use a bad word. And I pretended that it really bothered me, a whole lot more than it really did. Is that your primary purpose as a follower of Christ? To avoid anything that may be construed as a sin? To be as holy and pious as you can possibly be and present yourself to others as someone who doesn't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with the girls who do? Is that what's most important to God? In our passage from Isaiah 58, the first verse printed in our bulletin quotes the people speaking to God. And the people say, hey, we've been fasting. We've humbled ourselves. We've pursued piety and holiness. Why aren't you rewarding us, God? And in the following verses, God speaks back to the people. And he essentially says, your attempts at holiness, your efforts at piety are meaningless. If you really want to fulfill your purpose as my people, then love your neighbor as yourself. Or in Isaiah's words, let the oppressed go free. Share your bread with the hungry. Bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, cover them. Those are challenging admonitions. And the last one is maybe the most daunting. Don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Your own flesh refers to your children, your parents, your brothers and sisters, and extended family. It refers especially to those family members you're estranged from. Those are the people you're called to be in relationship with, to not hide yourself from. The kind of holiness that God is looking for from us is not the easy kind. It's not the trivial kind. Not the meaningless kind of holiness we often think of. You know, I remember years ago sitting at a high school baseball game when my oldest son was playing. I was sitting next to a friend of mine, a very nice guy who also had a friend, had a son on the team. He was not a guy who went to church, but we were friends nonetheless, and I liked him. So we were sitting there one day watching this baseball game, and something happened on the field he didn't like, and he blurted out a mild vulgarity. And then he turned to me with fear and embarrassment in his eyes and apologized as if I'd never heard that before or never said it myself. He apologized because I was a pastor. And his perception of Christians included the idea that we are deeply offended for the silliest, most trivial reasons. God doesn't call us to be offended for stupid, silly reasons. He calls us to love one another and all our neighbors. And he calls us to forgive extravagantly. You know, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus is quoted saying, "Do not think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Meaning, Jesus was the only one ever to keep the law consistently in its entirety. Our gospel reading concludes with this puzzling statement from Jesus. "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Which means, unless your holiness exceeds that of the holiest person you've ever known, you're not going to heaven. In other words, you're in trouble. And if you keep reading in Matthew 5, you'll find out how deep in trouble you really are. Listen to this. "You've heard it said, do not murder, but I tell you, anyone angry with his brother will be liable to the same judgment. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you, anyone who looks to lust is guilty of the same offense." Wow. And it keeps going. "If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to lose a member than your whole body be thrown into hell." And there's more. "Don't resist the one who's evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. If someone takes your tunic, give him your cloak too. Give to the one who begs. Don't refuse the one who would borrow from you. Love your enemies." And here's the capper right at the end of Matthew 5. "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." You know, we focus on the trivial as if our problem is we don't react well in social situations when people are drinking. Or our problem is we utter an occasional vulgarity. Our real problem is a little bigger than that. Jesus describes our problem this way. "You're not perfect. That's your problem." So are you fulfilling your purpose? Are you the salt of the earth? Or did you lose your saltiness long ago? Are you the light of the world? Well, you're not perfect. But here's a surprise. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And here's why. Despite our myriad imperfections and failures and the sin we continue to struggle with, you and I are the recipient of the imputed righteousness of Christ. So you've been declared perfect despite your sinfulness. You've been declared perfect. If you think you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world because you keep the law, you've got it completely wrong. Because you don't. Read Galatians 5:4. Here's how you become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You trust in Christ and not in yourself. any kindness, any act of mercy, any forgiveness on your part provides proof. You're a sinner saved by grace. Trust in Christ's righteousness, not your own, remembering that you've been covered up in His righteous robes. You've been washed in His precious blood. You do nothing. Christ does everything. That's why you can relax. You can trust Christ and let peace wash over you. You have nothing to fear because your life is in His hands. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And at the right time, you'll be with Him in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great compassion and mercy and love for us who are sinful. Lord, help us to recognize the magnitude of the gift that we have received. Though we are sinful, we are the recipients of Your righteousness imputed to us. We are declared righteous. Lord, cause this truth to fill us with gratitude toward You and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.